McDonald's, you know, you do the quick feet shuffle and the punching and try and repeat some of the things he said, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. It was Cassius Clay who declared to the world in 1964, that seems a long, long time ago, when he beat Sonny Liston for the World Heavyweight Champion. He said, "I am the greatest." And I guess he's one of the most recognised sports figures of the past 100 years. And actually, the BBC, Sports Personality of the Year, they voted him Sports Personality of the Century. And Cassius Clay once said, "My only fault is that I don't realise how great I really am." How modest and humble can we get? Our message this evening is about greatness and humility. Let's look at Matthew 18 and verse 1, because I think it's interesting to note that it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, if we take the three passages together, we'll get some idea as to what was going on. The disciples had just travelled from the Mount of Transfiguration, and that occurred on Mount Tabor, and that's about 30 miles from Capernaum. And they probably travelled to the home of Peter. If you go there today, there is Peter's house, and it's right near the sea, it's right near the synagogue, and that is supposedly Peter's house. Well, that's where I think the Lord Jesus and the disciples went. Now, on the journey, the disciples had been arguing amongst themselves as to who would be the greatest and who was the greatest amongst them. Jesus had heard their arguments, but he had said nothing at this particular time. But I guess what had happened in the last few days had triggered their discussions. After all, they had just been up the mountain of Transfiguration. The privileged group of James, Peter and John, they had that wonderful privilege of seeing the Lord Jesus transfigured. They saw those great heroes of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. What a privilege. Maybe they were the greatest. Anyway, they come down the mountain and they find this man who is distraught. He's distraught because his son has seizures and fits. And what's more, the man has gone up to the disciples that were left at the bottom of the mountain and asked them to heal him. And actually, the disciples were powerless. They could not heal him. But we know that Jesus heals the boy and he rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith, and I'm sure that didn't go down too well. And then Jesus talks about his betrayal, his death, and his resurrection. And it says in one of those passages that the disciples were filled with grief. And I guess they were filled with grief because they were looking forward to this new kingdom. They were looking forward to being released from the captivity of the Romans. So with all that has gone before, the privileged position that Peter, James and John enjoyed, the inability of the other disciples to cure the epileptic boy, they are concerned about who is greatest in the kingdom of God. Is it Moses? Is it Elijah? Is it John the Baptist? Is it Peter? Is it James? And is it John? Who? And perhaps they are embarrassed that they've been discussing who is the greatest amongst themselves. Because when they come to Jesus, and in verse 1, they say, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" They were talking amongst themselves, you know, "Is it me? Is it you?" and all the rest of it. But they slightly modify their question. And in verse 3, Jesus gives the answer to the question that they did not ask. Let me say that again. In verse 3, Jesus gives the answer to the question that they did not ask. You know, Jesus was in the habit of doing that. They would ask a question and he would answer something completely different. Because in verse 3, Jesus replies, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, Jesus knew their inner thoughts. And I guess that's encouraging for us. He knows us through and through. And he knew the condition of their hearts. And in fact, he's saying to these disciples, the most important question you should be asking is not who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, but how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? That is what should be uppermost in your thoughts and discussions. They were talking amongst themselves, who is going to be the greatest? Who is the greatest? And then they come to Jesus and say, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus is saying, look, you've got it all wrong. That's the wrong question to answer. The most important question is, how do I get into the kingdom of heaven? And it's interesting to note, we saw that last week, didn't we, with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was touched with what he had been seeing. He realized there was something special with Jesus. He was doing miracles and all the rest of it. And there was a desire in Nicodemus's heart to be part of this. And Jesus sort of goes right to the very heart of the question. And he says to Nicodemus, well, actually, you've got to be born again. That's where it happens. So fortunately for Nicodemus, Jesus knew what was going on inside Nicodemus's heart, and he gave Nicodemus the answer to the question that he did not ask. So that's the answer to the question that the disciples did not ask. I like the AV rendering, and it says this: "Verily I say to you, except you be converted." NIV says, unless you change. It's the same thing, but the word converted, I don't know about you, but even from a very little lad, it had something, strange about it, something austere, something which was most important. You had to be converted. And people would say, is he converted? You know, because it is the most important thing that can happen to anybody. You need to be converted in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, let alone to be the greatest in God's kingdom. And I think we should never forget, with all that we do here, with all our teaching programs and all the things that we do, that the most important thing is seeing people converted, seeing people repenting and turning around, seeing people change. That should be our number one priority. Because at the end of the day, what's most important? The most important thing is that people should be saved from going to hell, that they should be in heaven. Now you might say, hang on a moment. Who is Jesus talking to? He's talking about being converted. Well, he's talking to his disciples. Disciples being converted? Well, I thought the disciples were converted. Well, when were they converted? Well, the simple answer to that is, I don't know. I know some of the disciples made an affirmation of faith quite early on. Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. What I can be certain of, as much as I can be certain, that by the time Jesus ascended back to heaven, by the time Jesus had died, by the time he had risen from the dead and gone back to heaven, I'm absolutely convinced that all of those disciples, apart from Judas Iscariot, were converted. They had come to see who Jesus really was. And maybe at this particular time, even though some of these disciples had been called personally by Jesus, were they really converted? And that really is a tremendous question for folk that are in church. Not just in our church, but in all churches. converted. It's not enough to be amongst God's people. It's not enough to go to church regularly. We all need to have childlike faith and be converted. We need to be born again. We need to be changed. So you might ask yourself, where are we in answering the question posed in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 18? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus has said the most important question is not who is, but how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? And now you're waiting for it. The answer to the who is found in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 18. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There you are. That's the answer, right? Are you any the wiser? No, we aren't. Not at this particular moment in time. Well, you might be. I don't know. You've probably got there long before I ever did. I think the key to answering this question is humility. I've got here a couple of other translations of verse 4. Here's one. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Another translation. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And it's important to note that the passage in Mark and in Luke, they emphasize the fact of a little child. In fact, in Mark, Jesus takes the child in his arms. So this is not some strapping teenager, all right? This is some little child that you can physically pick up. I guess someone 3, 4, something like that. And Jesus takes the little child, and it's a picture of humility. It's a picture of lowliness, innocence, and the willing to trust absolutely. Matthew Henry makes this comment. Children, little children, when very young, do not desire authority, do not regard or are worried about outward differences or distinctions. They are free from malice and prejudice. They are teachable, willing to be led, dependent on their parents. Little children are innocently simple, humble and willing to be leased. A little child is humble by nature. And as we know, unfortunately, these characteristics do not last as they grow up. And I think that was one of the big reasons why Jesus took a little child. Now, for those of us who are grandparents, we have children, grandchildren that we look at. I've got two granddaughters. One is nearly a teenager, Leah. And she said the other day, when she knew that I was into cycling, she said, "Grandpa, whatever you do, don't wear Lycra shorts. You are too old to wear Lycra shorts. I will not want to be seen with you. I don't want to see a picture of you on Facebook. You are not to wear Lycra shorts." That's a teenager, nearly. Now, in contrast to that, this week, little Amy, 3 and a half, she comes over to see Grandpa. All right, there I am, out in the garden with my dirty clothes on. I've been messing around with wood. There's dust and dirt on me. Amy comes through the garden gate. "Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa," with her arms wide open, and me there. I put my arms out and she gives me a cuddle, and there we're cuddling each other and it's nice. And I put her down, and her mum Amanda comes along, and the first thing Amy says, "Mummy, Mummy, I've been cuddling a messy grandpa." And I said to Amy, I said, "What would you prefer? To cuddle grandpa, to have a cuddle from grandpa, or to have a cuddle from a messy grandpa?" And with her face beaming, all the rest, she said, "I'd like a cuddle from a messy grandpa." You see why Jesus took a little child. He was going to teach them, and we're only looking at one aspect of the teaching on that particular day. The innocence. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, we We said it's the one who is converted, the one who humbles himself like a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So is that answer, we will all be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because we all come that way, don't we? We've all got to humble ourselves like a little child. We've all got to be converted. Perhaps that's the answer. Actually, I think there is more. Was it Jimmy Cricket that said, there's more. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Just look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Just turn back a couple of pages. Matthew 11, verse 11. This is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And that's where, and the word I think we need to focus on. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. And we ask the question, nay, who is least? He who is least is the greatest. So where in your minds now have you gone in the scriptures? You're probably there before me. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And let me just read verses 5 to 8. Don't forget the question is, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, he who is least. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Who was least? He who humbled himself made himself lower than any. The one who became least is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we were to look at the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 22, we will find there that it says this, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. And we could read other verses in Psalm 22. We could go to Isaiah 53 where it says he was despised, he was rejected, he was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Jesus humbled himself. He became the least. And yet, he became the greatest. Read on from verse 9 in Philippians 2. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you think we have the answer there? The greatest in God's heavenly kingdom is our Lord Jesus Christ. And just to add a little twist, what's so amazing is that we are in Christ and we are joint heirs. So there we have the answer. Jesus is the least. He's the greatest because he became the least. What an introduction to what we're going to do just now, to remember the Lord and the breaking of the bread. Let me just read some verses from Revelation chapter 5 when it talks about who's going to be the greatest. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever. And for those who of us that are converted, that have come as a little child, we have entered and we will enter into all that God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus. So in a sense, we are all the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But there is one person that stands out, and that's our Lord Jesus, because he became the least. He became the lowest. He humbled himself. Let's sing number 506 as we enter into our time of worship. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands had made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Number 506.